podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
From the Fifth Quarter Studio in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to High School Hoops with your hosts, Steve Collins and Jake Stager.
Welcome to High School Hoops episode, I almost said Coach Unplugged, episode 103.
Yep.
So we're going to talk a little flex offense today. But before we dive into that, I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. If you want to shoot or be a shooter, you got to shoot. Pretty simple. You know, if you want to be a pharmacist, you better go learn about drugs. Yeah. I was just going to get political there, but I stopped myself.
Thank you.
And then the second thing is go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. I think probably by the time this one goes up or at least next week, the new site's going to be going, rocking and rolling. I'm super excited about it. Putting in the blueprint, basically how to become a coach, all the stuff we're putting up, all the individual stuff, all the team stuff. Very, very excited about it. So go over and check it out. Prices are going up. I've just talked to a market. Everybody I've talked to says I'm not charging enough, so I got to increase prices. So I'm just being real, people. If you want to get in, you better get in now. So anyway, yeah,
the resources are continually getting greater and greater.
Well, there's more resources, and it's like, come on, I'm getting like, shoot.
It's the interactive piece too, and the resources. Well,
it's like I was on phone calls this morning for like 2 hours with TeachHoops members talking stuff, and yeah, so it's time, it's interaction, it's community, it's all that. All right, so go ahead, Coach Flex. What are we going to talk about today?
And you've already talked about TeachHoops. You talked about all that good stuff. Okay, awesome.
I did. So, I already did. I did my shameless plugs at the beginning. But yes.
So we're going to be talking about offense for the next 4 weeks, we have a Facebook page that is directly connected to TeachHoops. So I've been contacting with TeachHoop members, and basically people that are TeachHoop members listening to our show. Anytime I pose a question and so forth, provide ideas. Steve,
yes,
and
I will. They were basically the ones that picked these four.
Right. And yeah, which is so nice, because I feel like no matter what, you are not the only person out there that have those same things, because there's so much commonality among the game and certain things that coaches do. So going out there and asking questions and getting perspectives are great. And then what happens too is, you know, we can also have conversations on our Facebook page talking about what giveaways you got from there.
It's a Facebook group, not a Facebook page. There is a difference. Only Facebook gurus know, but there's a difference. Okay, go ahead.
A group, which are only people that are members of our website, correct?
Yes. Yes.
So that is another piece where I think was really cool. If you are a TeachHoop member, you can be able to have those conversations with us as well. All right. So we decided to start with the flex offense. A lot of high school coaches run it. And so we're basically the next 4 weeks going to talk about the pros and cons and just kind of talk about a little bit experience, what your thoughts are about it. Just overall, basically, yeah.
Okay. So, what do you, so let me first say that I ran this, I don't know, for 7-8 years, probably. Won a state title running it, won a couple state titles running it. It can work, you know, flex swing. We'll put kind of throw them together because there's some variation.
I don't really consider those a true separate topic. The swing tends to have the more of the flare screen and the interchange action, and then the flex tends to have that pin down action, which I like a little bit better at times, just because I like that screen. I like the pin down action, but ultimately a flex offense includes that flex screen. So.
Right. And I'll put some basic stuff down here, or I'll link you to some free resources on our site too, so people can look up the offenses that we're going to talk about, because I want to at least let people kind of see what's going on with
it. Like through this too, I might ask Steve questions. He might ask me questions based on some of the things that we talk about. So my experience is that I've ran some variations of it, and I've seen variations of the flex too. So there's just not just one type of flex offense. Like the flex that I ran is the DeMathia flex. So a lot of times in the flex offense, you have that up screen and the player comes down. Well, it goes from an up screen. The player then sets a block to block screen for the five man, and the five man stays inside your offense the entire continuity. And we had a kid that was 6'8", which was really effective. So one thing, as we talk here through all these offenses, there are variations and modifications that you can make based on your team. I've seen other actions of the flex where it includes double pin downs to flex screens. And so there are variations. There's just not one size all. And then, I don't know, locations of the floor can be different too, right, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, I think we should talk about – I think a good way to dive into this, too, would be talk about some strengths and weaknesses.
Let's do that first.
Why don't you take a couple strengths and I'll – let's do strengths first. We want to be positive people. And then you do a couple, I'll do a couple, and then we'll dive into the weaknesses.
Okay, because I have a buttload of that. So there are variations where you can build on. Easy to create breakdown drills and with the flex offense, very easy. Especially even if you wanted to make a base offense in your whole high school program or in your middle school program, it's very easy to introduce and teach. I like that it consists of a flex screen and a pin down screen, which in my opinion are very two effective screens in high school basketball and hard to guard. Easy to teach. Love the concept of post and paint touches. Lots of high percentage shots inside. One other thing I really loved about it, the last thing is that when I started, and we have a lot of coaches that start out, it's a nice framework to build on an open or free motion offense as you develop your program.
So it's relatively easy to learn.
Right.
So if we're going to talk about a pro, I think it's relatively easy to learn. You don't need to dribble a lot. So if you have a team, so that's where I think you got to kind of look at what your strengths and weaknesses of your specific team are. But it's pretty relatively, and so I'm just going through some of the things that I've thought about. It also can control tempo. Definitely dictates the speed. If you've watched a Wisconsin team, not that you can't go fast, but it will definitely dictate tempo. There's lots of entries. There's lots of entries and lots of offenses. But I like, it definitely has, if you've watched Wisconsin play, a definite pro would be that there's plenty of opportunities for guards to post up in the flex or in the swing. So my big ones are less dribbling, controlling tempo, be able to get hold of those posts, and relatively easy to learn. I think those are all – so for – especially for sometimes – if you can enter the ball, it's a great youth even younger high school levels. And I've run it. I've thrown it in the last couple of years just to get a change up to especially to work on our screening and stuff, because to rotate the ball, you definitely got to be able to screen on it.
Yeah. The one I was talking about, it is a really nice framework. My first year coaching second year coaching varsity basketball, first year coaching with a new program. We used the flex for probably 75% of the season. And then we started building off a free motion 4-out-1 in, and they really started to grasp it really quickly.
Right.
And so it is if you're a motion guy and you're coming in and your kids are not to that point, it's easy to teach and then you can build off of it. Also, like you were saying too, is that it's a great way if you are a motion kind of style offense with your younger kids. Like when I was in school and when I had my younger teams, they would run a variation of this to move into a motion style offense as well.
Perfect.
So some of the things that that is, we have to be cautious with our cons. I thought it's very predictable unless you make reads.
It is.
It's monotonous.
It's super hard. I mean, that predictable is what I put on the top. I mean, there are reads and there are counters. There aren't as many counters as some of the other ones we're going to talk about.
For sure.
Which is one of the issues it causes is the reversal of the ball, that predictability. Yeah, go ahead. What else? What else do you have as a weakness? One of my weaknesses is everyone's got to be able to score everywhere. maybe with dribble drive, you have a post, or with the Princeton or that, you can get some kind of variation.
I also think if you're a soft team, I don't think the swing is, this flex is very effective either. Because you can get pushed around. A lot of teams will bump the cutter, bump the flex screen. If you're a soft team, you get pushed around. You're not going to be very effective as well. The other thing I talked about is it's easy to switch. Teams can switch on you easily.
And that goes the reversal. That goes to that reversal. It's really hard when people are switching. That's where the counters. Now, when they do switch, you can get pins.
Right. But I did say if you are. Also, talking about the switch, it's not as very effective if you're undersized. So if you have all the same guards and team switches on you, like, it can be very easy for teams to play defensively on you as well.
Did you hear me scream there back there?
I did. I was wondering if you're okay.
I am. I'm going to have to edit that out. Hold on. I thought I muted.
You did mute. I saw your mouth.
Oh, good. Okay. So if we were live, if you're watching this on YouTube and you see me like, okay, so it was muted. Okay, good.
Yeah.
I have to go back.
It was quite humorous.
Actually. No, they're playing. My niece is here visiting. They're playing Uno and they're all screaming right now. So if you hear screaming, whatever, I'm going to leave it. But I was just trying to get them to not be loud about it. This is a very competitive household.
There's nothing wrong with that. Kids got to be kids.
No, it's my wife screaming. What are you talking about? Like, you talking about? This is competitive house, man. One other thing is it does – a lot of the offenses that we're going to talk about, I think, work really well against zone. This one doesn't. It really doesn't. You're going to have something different. You can run Princeton. You can run Reed Rat. You can run some of the other offenses that we're going to talk about against the zone, and it does work because you've got the cutting and the moving.
Right.
This one doesn't really work. Yep. So I think that's another weakness.
So, another weakness would be just it's not very adaptive.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
A motion offense or Reed React is very adaptive, and I have ran motion offense against a 1-3-1. I've seen teams even use dribble drive against some zone stuff, depending on what they do. So that's what might happen. It might be easy to teach, but then you're going to have to be willing to use something else. But to say it's not effective, it can be effective, but it has – I think the key to it being effective is the ability to make reads and counters on the actions if you can be able to do that.
Right. I agree.
All right. Full time out today.
Oh, yeah. Full time out.
I am.
That's good. Prepared. I think that's a good intro. It's a very structured offense. It has a pattern. Everyone needs to go to a specific place. It has its place in basketball for sure. I don't think it's something that's going to go away. But I think that those are some of the strengths and weaknesses when you're thinking about picking a team or picking an offense. I think you got to think about those. Yeah.
All right, coach. Who inspired you when you played the game of basketball?
My brother, probably. I mean, if my brother had been a hockey player, I probably wouldn't have been a hockey player, to be honest.
Really?
With my older brother, probably. That's just the way it kind of worked.
It does, doesn't it? What about player-wise?
Well, he's a player. He was good. But that's okay. That's a good question. I was a Magic guy growing up. I was really a Magic guy. We were the Pergolers. I went to East, so we were purple and gold, and it kind of fit with the whole Laker issue in the 80s. And could stand McHale and the Celtics. And now I have a newfound respect for him, but whatever. That would probably be it. I was early in on Michael, but
My dad always inspired me, but for players – before Duke went into the one and done, there were a lot of Duke players that I was always a fan of because they were highly intelligent, academically well-rounded students. But like the Bobby Hurleys and the Steve Wojnarowskis of the world, of being just an undersized guard playing in a big-time basketball, was always something that I always.
I like that on. Too.
I like those gritty kind of kids, and I always tried to if I can't be 6'5", what can I do? Because these guys are killing it.
I know. Wojo was great at that, but
oh my god, he would slap the floor, and
I know.
He got the best out of his teammates. So guys like that were the kind of guys that I wanted to be like.
I know. I agree. All right. Thanks, Coach.
Yep.
Hey everybody, I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and like. No matter where you listen, Apple, Spotify, we love those 5-star reviews. Make sure you also go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better.
Sports Social Podcast Network.